thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. It's a hot show, man. We got a special guest. I'm going to get to that later, though. But it's a blessing, man. It's a Tuesday. We haven't been on for a while. It's kind of, I feel this kind of, I feel like this kind of foreign. And I'm sorry, I didn't say my name. I'm Wally, part of the Urban Sports Scene. Will T, Ray G's, they'll be here shortly. But yeah, it's been a while. It's been a lot going on in sports, man. You know, you have like John Wall getting a Supermax offer and didn't sign with the Washington Wizards. You got James Harden making crazy money. I mean, a four-year extension. At the end of his contract, he's going to get about $228 million. I mean, we've seen some great play in summer league basketball. A lot of things going down in sports, man. We didn't get an opportunity to even recap the NBA draft. That's how long we haven't been on. But again, we're gonna bring you some the greatness of sports. It's been a crazy day, in terms of like what I've been doing in my day to day life, man. I've been busy, been grinding, hustling. It is what it is. But we're here. Here to give you sports, but let's get in our tradition, the pregame. Otto Porter is resigning with the Washington Wizards. We'll discuss that off the break. At 8:20, we'll discuss if the Washington Nationals are good enough to make it to the World Series. At 8:30, we will have former Georgetown Hoyas standout Mike Sweeney to discuss Big Three basketball. At 8:40, we'll discuss the rest of the NBA offseason. And at 8:50, NBA Summer League. But first, Otto Porter, the Washington Wizards matched the offer sheet of the Brooklyn Nets 4 years, $107 million, which was awarded to Otto Porter. Did the Washington Wizards make the right move? In my opinion, I think they did make the right move. A lot of people are angry that Otto Porter got that contract and the Washington Wizards set the franchise back. I'm on the other side of that. I think that's a move that needed to be made. Let's be real, people, that the Wizards didn't get Paul George. That didn't happen, all right? OKC got Paul George. So where's it gonna make that move? That didn't happen. So you have to show John Wall that you're ready to win. You have to show Bradley Beal that you're ready to win. You can't go into a season thinking that, okay, you have no Otto Porter and all you have is John Wall and Bradley Beal after an amazing season they had last season. You can't do that. You don't want to go backwards. And you can't guarantee that you're going to get Boogie Cousins. Like, you hear that talk that the Washington Wizards are going to get Boogie Cousins. That's why the Wizards shouldn't sign Otto Porter, because they should all their chips in for Boogie Cousins. What happens if Boogie Cousins doesn't come to D.C.? It would be the same situation with Kevin Durant. We heard for like 3 years, KD to DC. We heard that for like 3-4 years. The Wizards should set up to get KD. They should do everything it takes to get KD. Did that work out for them? No. They weren't the superpowers. Now you have an opportunity. This Washington Wizards organization decided to build their team in the draft. They got Bradley Beal, John Wall, Otto Porter. Three guys they can work on and key on. And one of the individuals, because he's not dropping 20 points a game, everybody they says, okay, well, he doesn't deserve the money. Let's just be real. We're in an NBA era where everybody's being overpaid. Look, think about it this way. Don't be mad at Otto Porter for getting that contract. Be mad at Ernie Grunfeld for paying Mahimi $65 million. He's a backup. Mahimi got $65 million to be your backup. And you're complaining about Otto Porter, who is an important piece or a cog to your team, who makes winning plays, plays an intelligent style of basketball, who does all the grunt and dirty work, and helps this team win. He logs a lot of minutes. He's a guy that every year, and when he had a significant role on the team, has improved. I mean, last season, not this season, the season from this postseason, but last season before that, he averaged about 11. This year, he averaged 13 points a game. He's going upwards. He was up in the league in three-point shooting. In my opinion, he's the guy that should be valued. I know, and again, a lot of people are saying, well, he's getting more money than John Wall, Bradley Beal, or whatever. Does that really make any sense? Does that really matter? Excuse me. We complained about this last season when Bradley Beal got paid more than John Wall. The argument was that, you know, that's the way the contracts work out. That's the way the NBA contracts worked out. We knew that when John Wall's opportunity arises, he'll get paid more than Bradley Beal. We know, again, that once the contract plays out and even the Wizards want to give out an extension, we know that Bradley Beal will get paid more than Otto Porter. And Also, you have to understand too. I know Otto Porter isn't a sexy player, but let's look at it. The man has improved every season. We don't say anything about Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal improved every year, but we're not complaining that, you know what, Bradley Beal doesn't deserve money or this, that, and the other. John Wall has improved every year. Who's to say right now, Otto Porter, who's shot the ball, I believe, averaged 10 shots per game last season and still gave you 13 points on 10 shots, which is an amazing in his own right. So say his shot attempts go up. So you would think he would average more points. Maybe Otto Porter goes from 13 to 16. Is that value? That's probably two more average shots per game. That's probably 16 points right there. Say Otto Porter averages 15 shots more. Then we're looking at a 20-point score. Is that value? Is that contract now deemed enough? Is it equal? The issue is the Wizards are played with you. When you're looking at John Wall and Bradley Beal, they're ball dominating individuals. They dominate the ball. They're the guys they go to. But you asked a lot for Otto Porter. You asked Otto Porter to rebound. You asked Otto Porter to hustle. You asked Otto Porter to check some of the toppest three small forwards threes in the NBA, and he does it. But you look at Otto Porter as a guy that, he doesn't deserve that money. Stop looking at it as, Otto Porter is the highest paid player for the Washington Wizards, because you're going to lose that one. No one's going to say that Otto Porter is the best player on the Washington Wizards. Look at the contracts of what it is. I mean, you have a lot of players who are getting paid a lot of money to sit the pine. Timothy Moskov, who played for the Lakers last season, made about $70 million. And what did he do last season? That's just the name of the bit. That's the nature of the business. That's what we see right now in basketball. That's what's going down in the NBA. You can't come out and think that just because Otto Porter isn't dropping 50 points a game, thinking that, okay, well, he doesn't deserve it. It's going to cripple my franchise. It's not going to cripple the franchise. And so for you to be mad at Otto Porter for that situation is ridiculous. Or mad at the organization. Well, you could be mad at Ernie Grunfeld. I think that's fair. You could be mad at Ernie. Ernie's the reason. Again, you got Mahimi for 65. For 65. For what? To do what? You got a guy just to play defense off the bench. That's amazing to me. And we're worried about Otto Porter. We're worried about Otto Porter's contract. That's the first thing we call out. Don't sign Otto Porter. Because he didn't deserve it. Don't sign him. But you do understand that someone was going to pay Otto Porter. The Brooklyn Nets were going to pay Otto Porter. The Clippers were interested in Otto Porter. The Utah Jazz, once they lost Hayward, were interested in Otto Porter. He can't be that sorry. He has to have some value. Right? You listen to the Urban Sports thing. You listen to Wally. If you want to call in, you want to talk about Otto Porter, if he deserved this contract or not, just dial the number. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Hit us up on our Facebook page, The Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. But yeah, it's back to deserving or whatnot. People are looking at it all off. They're looking at it like Otto doesn't deserve the money. It's not about deserving the money. I don't look at it that way. I look at it what we are in the NBA, because a lot of players who are getting max money are getting a boatload of money. I don't look at them as, worth that value. You just don't. I just named a couple players that got paid. I think Luol Deng got paid for the Lakers, and he wasn't the same. He wasn't a guy that, to me, warrant the contract he got. Now he's phased out and about to be on the bench because of Brandon Ingram. But I ain't mad at the man. You make your money. Otto Porter took advantage of a time for the Washington Wizards where, to be honest with you, they were strapped. They had to sign him. They had to re-sign him. When you have that type of success and you have people actually thinking that you can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and a guy that helped you get there, helped you get to the point of the second round, and throughout the most for the majority part of the season, helped you reach a high level of basketball. And you didn't get the guy that you tried to get and you campaigned for in a Paul George. Then yeah, this is what happens. Otto Porter banked in. He made his money. He got paid. We can't hate on that. We can't hate on a man for getting paid. Where they do that at? We talking about an individual who deserved his money. That was his thing. He worked for his money. Otto got paid. It's because the era of basketball. That's it. It ain't nothing about anything else. It's about the era of where we are. This is where we are now today in the NBA. Like I said, Timothy Mozgov got 70 mil. For doing what?
For contributing towards the championship team, my brother. That's what he got 70 million for.
But not that. Not that. To be on the bench? He wasn't even a starter.
I know he wasn't a starter, but he still was a contributor. I mean, there's a certain perception you get when you come off of a championship, when you contribute in the least bit to a championship.
Yeah, but I mean, for Timothy Mozgov, if you look at Timothy Mozgov, he was didn't get any burning in the NBA Finals.
He didn't, but towards that, once he was acquired, he still played a role for that team. Yes.
On the team. That's not $70 million worth.
In today's NBA, it is.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just talking about in terms of the knock on Otto Porter, why he got his money. If you didn't get Paul George, you had to keep him.
You had to keep him. My only concern is, right, so we signed Otto for 4 more years, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
John Wall is really in his prime. He's 27 years old. So by the time Otto's contract is up, John Wall will be 31.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to give John Wall the supermax if he accepts.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal's getting the max. Uh-huh. Otto Porter's getting the max. You severely hinder yourself. Now, we know that this team, unless you have a top 3 pick, hasn't been able to find the right mix of players in the draft. I think that's fair to say, correct?
Yeah, that's fair.
With this current administration, Ernie Grunfeld in particular, I don't know how you're going to construct a roster or improve your roster with signing Otto Porter, giving Otto Porter $25 million. I'm sorry. Now, the one great thing I will say is over the years, he's continued to improve his game. And from a statistical standpoint, he's always improved year over year. So that gives you some hope. But realistically speaking, you had the chance last offseason to lock Otto Porter down for that fifth year option, and you chose not to. And he went out and he did what he did. And, kudos to him for getting a $25 million a year.
No, and I agree. To a certain extent, you're going to strap your team, but I don't blame Otto Porter. I blame Ernie for signing Yo Mahimi for $65 million.
Exactly.
Now, that's not Otto Porter's fault. That's not his issue.
It's not, but...
Yeah, so truth be told, I mean, that issue, that's Otto has to bank in on how he has to bank in because of what today's NBA is.
The market.
The market, exactly. So the issue is, once you didn't get Paul George, you had to get Otto Porter because nobody else in the market you can get. Hayward was going to Boston, like I said, and then George was in OKC. So that wiped out everything. And then the whole thing about, okay, well, we could sign Boogie Cousins in the following season. That's the same thing. That's the same type of jargon that was talked about KD, and they lost out on KD, and their franchise was pretty much put on the backtrack because they couldn't better their team or their roster because they were waiting on KD.
Not only that, I think we're going to look back at not this offseason, but last offseason, and see the moves that the front office made and see how it's going to really hinder this team moving forward. I understand that they had a floor that they had to spend, but from my understanding of the collective bargain is you didn't have to meet that floor until February.
Uh-huh.
What happens at February? What specifically happens around February?
All-Star game.
No, not All-Star game. Trade deadline.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if you didn't go out and spend the floor during the first half of the season, you would have made yourself – you would have put your team in a position where you could have attained some of those contracts that may have been coming off after the year, and you've gotten a draft pick. So you would have increased – you could have increased the team's the team's chances of getting more first-round or second-round draft picks to add and strengthen your roster with potential young players. Or you could use those draft picks to acquire a star player.
Yeah, on Facebook, I posed the question, were you happy with the decision of Otto Porter being re-signed by the Washington Wizards? My man Jerome said no, which I mean, a lot of people look at the money and the money, and you're like, okay, well, he didn't deserve the money.
It's the market.
It's the market. I mean, we all know that he's not a $107 million player, but the market dictates what he is, and that's what he is on the market. But yeah, to me, again, there's a bunch of bench players out there who aren't worth the money they're getting, or starters. You know what I mean?
As a Knicks fan, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, 70.
71 million.
He's paid more than his dad. His dad's whole career.
71 million, and the Hawks were offering only 45 million.
Crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, in reference. It's
enough to pull your hair off.
I know, right? I don't have any more hair. In reference to the Washington Wizards, in reference to Otto Porter, you know, they lost on Paul George. John Wall explained his campaigning for Paul George.
There's nothing wrong about it because you understand. I know Otto means my team what he does for them here. But in the day, there's any team that you can improve a position. I mean, Otto's going to be a great player for us, a great role player for a lot of teams. It's a difference between a role player to a superstar. It's a big difference. And it's a lot of teams that make a lot of trades for a superstar for another piece. Look at Kevin Love getting traded for Andrew Wiggins. You never know what the player's going to turn out to be. It's what people are going to say about it. I know what I love in Otto as a teammate. At the end of the day, if you can make a team better, you always do that. And if people take it the wrong way, then so be it.
He didn't explain himself to me. He just clarified what he meant.
No, it's crazy. I just think that I get what you're saying. As a fan, that's how you're supposed to look at it. Like, you're supposed to look at it that way. You're supposed to say, you know what, man, Paul George been Otto Porter. Hell yeah, you're supposed to go after Paul George. And he's right. As you know, as a player, he should. That's how he feels, and no one's mad at him for that. But I will say this: I think a lot of people, when you ask, my thing is that if you're Otto Porter, right, the player, if you're a competitor, right, and somebody's campaigning for somebody else, it doesn't matter who you are, who that player is. You're going to be a little salty.
No, not necessarily. I think about in the history of this franchise, Kyle Bracheney was being offered for Latrell Sprewell. Chris Webber, who was there on the team at the time, said that Kyle Bracheney said, I would make that trade.
Oh, he said that?
Latrell Sprewell.
Well, he's not competitive.
No, it's just being real.
I need being real, but sometimes belief in yourself, you're going to think you're the best. You're the best player out there.
He knows he's not Paul George. If you're being honest with yourself, you know you're not Paul George, correct?
Yeah, but you're still young.
Now, I think you can use it as motivation.
Yeah,
I think what John Wall's perspective is we reached our ceiling with the team the way it's currently constructed. Uh-huh. And he knew that Paul George was like a last hope with no draft picks and no other top free agents wanting to join your franchise outside of Melo, who doesn't make you better defensively. So do you really get better with Melo over Otto Porter? So I think that's why John Wall was saying, you know what, I'm going after Paul George. I think PG will help us on both ends of the floor. Otto Porter's a good defensive player, but when you're talking about competing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who you're going to have to beat in order to get to the NBA championship, you're going to need an upgrade.
Do you think Paul George is the player to compete for Cleveland for this Wizard team? Would he been that piece? Could they have competed with Cleveland if they have got a Paul George?
Absolutely not.
I would say not necessarily. I don't know if it's absolutely, but not necessarily.
I think it's absolutely not. I don't think they are. They're not even close enough to be better than that team, even with Paul George. And I could be, again.
Whenever Paul George matches up against a team with LeBron James, you feel like he's just so close, one piece away. This time around, his Pacers team was swept, yes. But those first two games were so competitive. And really, the Pacers should have took at least one game, the first game of the series. Then they blew a 25-point lead in game three, and Paul George in game four had a chance to hit a game winner that he bricked. So each game was competitive.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But anyway, it's time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Nationals. If they have an opportunity to get to the World Series, if they're ready right now as they're constructing. Listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got
off. I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it, use it, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like been through probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah, yeah, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well.
You're listening to the Urban Sports and myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. Talking about Washington Nationals. Right now, the All-Star game's on right now, right?
It is, I believe. Yeah. Or it's about to start.
About to start. The Washington Nationals are 52-36. They are first place in the NL East. They have an 8-game lead over the Braves, who are second place. With all that being said, the Washington Nationals, their bullpen hasn't been the best of the world. But is this team still good enough as constructed to be a World Series contender?
And you have to add on top of that the caveat that they lost their starting center fielder, Adam Eaton, who they gave up three of their top pitchers for. They lost Jason Worth for a substantial time, and they also lost Trey Turner, who's the guy who gets on base for them at the top of their lineup. And they're still 16 games over 500, 8.5 games up on the Mets and on the Braves in the NL East. I do think that this team has enough to win the division.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily know if they have enough to win the pennant to get to the World Series. Obviously, you need to make improvements to the back end of that the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And you may, I don't think you really need. I think you need to add some help to the back end of that bullpen, and you may want to go out and get another long reliever for this team, because as you see, I think if I'm not mistaken, the Nats, they have the most quality starts from their starters. They have starters who've gone 7 innings or more than any team in baseball.
I'm wondering, does it come down to management? That's what I want to know. Is Dusty Baker the difference maker? And answer that question. That's all. Because look at the talent. From Harper to Murphy to Rendon to Strasburg to Scherzer. You have the talent to win. And win, to win it all. So, is it the man that's leading the team that's gonna make the big difference?
I don't think Dusty's the issue. I don't think Rizzo did enough for him within that bullpen. He let Melanson, and that's the name, the closer last season.
Let Melanson go. Wasn't able to get Jansen.
And that was big,
Or Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, but even that you had a decent closer last year. Like, you had a quality closer last year, and you decided to let him walk and you just had more faith in what you had with you, or you thought you can get something else in the offseason that didn't work out for you. I think you put Dusty in a bad position. You have guys who are giving up, again, your closer in Colton Glover, his ERA is over 5. I mean, so, and your closer is mostly supposed to be your more reliable reliever, because you can, pretty much your low ERA guy who your most reliable one. So it says a lot that you had to use Colton Glover and make him your closer, and he's still, again, his ERA is on the high side. To me, it's more of what, to be honest, which the groceries that Dusty has to work with, that's been more of the issue. But offensively, I agree with you. I think offensively, this team is stellar enough to get to the postseason, easily win a division, and even win a series or two. But if they're playing like the Dodgers with a good pitching staff and a good rotation,
so,
that's a problem.
So here's the thing. I actually think that this team, I think it's closer than a lot of people say against the Dodgers, just for the simple fact that going against Clayton Kershaw, having those left-handed bats, the quality left-hand bats that you have in the lineup.
He's not a good playoff pitcher.
And on top of that,
he pitched better last year.
He pitched better last year. But I was just going to say, and on top of that, Clayton Kershaw doesn't have the strongest record,
right.
The strongest record in the playoffs. So Clayton Kershaw.
Last year, I mean, like anything, last season he showed a lot because he went on limited rest. You can't ask a lot from a pitcher who goes on limited rest in terms of a guy who strikes a lot of batters, and you rely on so much to do what he did last season. I think last season he stepped up last year. That's why I feel like he's still one of the more dominant pitchers in baseball. Look at what he did last season. Did you watch again? He went back to back limited days of rest and pitched well. They used the reliever. What's the reliever's name again? Will for the Dodgers.
Kelly Jansen.
Jansen and Kershaw, and used them up to pretty much carry that team throughout the postseason. Most pitchers get 3 days rest, whatever. He got limited. Like, I want to say he did pitch on 3 days rest.
He pitched in game five.
Yeah, he pitched on 3 days rest. Pitchers don't do that.
He pitched game one. He pitched on pay five. And
Max Scherzer, who's great, doesn't do that.
You got a 4.8
last year?
ERA.
Last year?
No.
I'm talking about overall.
My
argument is last season. Last season, because we can go over last season. That's the season everybody kept going on Clayton Kershaw and said he couldn't produce, whatever. He pitched big last season.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but he also does prior to last season. Okay, he has a track record.
Because he went on short rest in that game four.
He went on – they relied on him heavily a bunch of times on short rest.
People like CeCe Sabathia, I saw them in the past. You know, pitches that have won have gone on short rest. I don't know. I think if the whole sole argument is that the Nationals can't be the Dodgers because of Clayton Kershaw, that's garbage.
I said the Dodgers as a whole. He's part of it, though.
Well, no. Eric Turner, and then you have Bellinger.
They got Bellinger.
And then you're going to have Gonzalez back.
There you go.
Yasiel Puig. I mean, I don't think that their lineup is as good as the Nats lineup.
No, but I think that when you combine their offense, their pitching, and bullpen, I would take them over the Nationals.
We'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to come down to those two.
I don't have the time to argue.
No, I think that this is
bull crap. You make this the shortest segment, then you try to wrap us up. You're the production manager too. That's why you didn't put Bam's name on the production notes.
Wait, Tom, what?
Later in the show. You know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, everybody with Bam. All right, we're about to break. After the break, we'll have former Georgetown Hoyas baller Michael Sweetney to discuss the Big Three and Hoyas basketball. You listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, Ray. Right now, we have on the line former Georgetown Hoyas star Michael Sweetney, 2000 to 2003. What's up, Michael Sweetney? What's going on, man?
What's going on? How's
that doing, man? We good, man. What have you been up to prior to the Big Three?
Working out and volunteering coaching at the National Christian Academy. Here in Washington, D.C. area. Also, I played overseas for a little bit in South America. So, just moving around a little bit, just staying active.
Oh, yeah, my man Michael Bell has been over there with National Christian Academy. You know him?
That name rings a bell.
For lack of better terms, that's what's up, though.
Okay.
So, you play for Threes Company with fellow Hoya AI. How much are you enjoying your experience right now playing the Big Three?
Man, this has been, like, probably so much fun, man. You know, it's just, it feels like almost like the NBA days again, man. you know, Brooklyn had 18,000, Charlotte had, like, 16,000. Tulsa sold out, exact number. But, you know, the first three stops have been sold out, and the fans been great. The competition has been good. Guys had a lot of fun, man, just being around each other again, man. It's just been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, when they see the product, you know, to me the product's awesome, because a lot of folks don't understand how much work 3-on-3 is. Like, to play 3-on-3 basketball, like, you can be exposed. 5-on-5, I feel like you can hide at times, but playing 3-on-3 basketball, you can be exposed. How intense is the trash talking?
Oh, it's definitely intense, man. I think Steven Jackson set the tone.
I saw that.
When we had training camp, man, he just set the tone. Like, I ain't here to make no friends. I'm here to win. I mean, he got into it with Oakley. He got into it with Kenny. I mean, he's been going at it with everybody. And I think that right there just set the tone with everybody. Like, okay, man, let's make this thing serious. So the trash talk's been heavy, man. It's been serious. So it's been a lot of fun.
So would you say Steven Jackson's the biggest trash talker? Now, Gary Payton ain't trash talking off the bench?
Oh, I mean, I'll say Steven Jackson, Kenyon Martin, and Gary Payton probably the three-way title trash talk. It's been kind of serious. But I don't know. Kenya might got everybody beat right now, because right now he ain't playing. He's been hurt. So he's been having nothing but to do but talk trash like the whole game on the sideline. He's just talking. So I think Kenya got everybody beat right now.
All right. So right now you're all about your 1-2. What do you think? What do you all need to do to turn things around?
I just think, you know, we made a little change, which everybody will see on Sunday. So I think the change that we made might help a little bit. And I think they start playing together. You know, AI hasn't, like you said, he hasn't played in 6 or 7 years. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, and once he gets his legs up on, hopefully ain't too late, but once he gets his legs up on, we'll be good.
So who have you been impressed with so far in the league? You know, because I've looked at it and I was like, I was surprised. Like, when I watch Al Harrington, I'm like, wow. Like, I forgot how good Al Harrington was.
I mean, Al, we expected that with him.
Uh-huh.
I think the person has probably been Rashad McCants, man. Oh. I mean, that dude, man, he the package that he had, you know, we just played him. I mean, I didn't know he had the handles and the pull-ups. And, I mean, I knew he could shoot, and he was a good driver. But, I mean, his handles and his mid-range game was just on point, man. I mean, he gave us problems. So I say Rashad McCants is the person that kind of, like, surprised me the most on how much he's developed.
Mike, can this resuscitate an NBA career for some of you guys?
Okay, one more time.
Can this resuscitate an NBA career for some of you guys?
I think so. I mean, there's some guys out there I see like, man, like, you know, this dude still can play. Like, you know, but the only thing is with that is, you know, the 82-game season, you know, that's a lot. You know,
yeah.
Right now this is for one game a week. You know, that league, man, you got, you know, you probably got 4 games in 5 nights. And you're traveling, so that's a lot on a guy. You know, so I think, you know, we can see. You know, hopefully some guys will get some opportunities out of this. One way to see, but I think guys are definitely working hard, taking the series, getting their bodies back in shape. But, you know, it's one thing, just hoping your body can hold up, then, yeah, why not give it a chance?
Right now, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. We got Mike Sweeney online. You play for the Hoyas, you know, so what are your thoughts of Patrick Ewing coming back to Georgetown?
Man, I was happy, man. You know, just, you know, they kept it in the family, you know, kept it in the family. And, you know, Patrick was probably, you know, arguably the between him and AI is, you know, the greatest to come out of there. So for him to come back and be the head coach and be the face of the team is awesome, man. I think he's going to be great with the system he's going to put in, because he's going to put in that Golden State, you know, run-and-gun type basketball. He's going to make it fun again for the guys, for the people to watch and for the guys to play. Because, you know, young guys now, they don't want to play that half-court slow set. They want to run. So that's what he wants to do, so which is good. And I think right now the biggest adjustment is him, you know, getting the recruits in there, getting the players in there. Once he do that, hopefully, you know, Georgetown will be back on the map again.
All right, so you sound excited. So, conversely, how did you feel about JT3, man?
Great guy. I mean, he's a great person, great guy. I just think that his style of play didn't really help with this era. You know, if he played that system back when I played, great. But you know, I understand now, you know, everybody's shooting the three, running up and down the court. And I think, you know, this system he had to Princeton just wasn't working in his day and age. And that's why they made the change. I mean, I think that's why, but that's probably one of the reasons why they made the change and bring a different style of basketball. But, you know, personally, great guy. I just think basketball-wise, that system just wasn't working right.
You know, hey, Mike, on Twitter, you have folks saying they're rooting for you right now for the big three, man. They're rooting for you hard.
Say one time?
On Twitter, they're rooting for you hard for the big three. I have folks tweeting us, they're rooting for you.
Yeah, we got to turn this thing around, man. And hopefully, us being in Philly this weekend, man, AI coming back home, that's going to give us some good energy and we can get the W for him, man.
Cool. So, I have a good question about Georgetown and Patrick Ewing. Did he used to work out with you a lot back then while you were in Georgetown?
Yeah, when I was there, he was like one of the first ones that like really pulled me up and told me that I had a shot to make it to the league. You know, at first I thought he was just talking to me just to, you know, and he really took me on his wing and showed me, and actually the guy that his trainer was the guy that pretty much ended up training me. And it's one of those things that he really took me on his wing. So that's one of those things I would never forget. Always would be there for him and always got nothing but the utmost respect for him.
All right, cool. All right, so we had this debate a couple of segments ago about another Georgetown ball player, Otto Porter. He got an extension with the Wizards. Your thoughts about that? You think Otto deserved that contract, or you just felt like it was just a market value type of thing?
I mean, it's definitely the market value. I mean, everybody's upset about the money he's getting, but you got to understand, like, you know, that cap is something crazy right now. So it's just the market. You know, it's just the market. It's just, you know, I've seen, I think, a guy like Middleton last year from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Never heard of the dude. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's the market. You can't, you know, people are, you know, upset about it, but it's the market. They don't understand that teams have to pay a certain amount of money to these, you know, to these players. So that's why players are getting thrown a lot of money. So it's one of those things that, you know, it's just a different generation. You got to accept it, you know. I can't sit here and say he's worth it or not, because that's just, the, you know, that's what this market got, you know. So, you know, this is what it is. It's just right now, you know, if he would have played, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that same contract would have been probably like $50 million. So it's just a different era, you know what I'm saying? You know, I guess people just see the $100 million and it's like, oh my God, like, he's maxed out. Like, nah, it's just the market, you know, it's just what it is right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Mike, we appreciate you having on the show. Before I let you go, I know I talked to you about we have a mutual friend. We all have a mutual friend because actually was a friend of the show, Big Ron, Ronnie Watkins. Can you talk about, you know, your experience with Ron back in the day?
Man, I've been knowing Ronnie, man, since I was, 8, 9 years old. You know, me and Jason Jackson, one of my best friends, Ronnie lives across the street from us. So, man, you know, riding my bike over there and hanging out playing ball with those dudes, man, it's just been, you know, great. You know, a great ride, man. I've been knowing Ronnie since I was 9 years old. And, you know, when he just left his earth, man, that was a hard one, man, because we always kept in contact through Facebook, man. It was just one of those things. Even after he passed, man, I would still go to his page so I can disbelieve it. Is he really done? Like,
yeah.
You know, I miss his Redskins and his Wizards post. Of course, man. So, you know, him being gone, man, it hurts a lot, man. I just miss, you know, having sports talks with him, man. But, you know, he's in a better place now, and hopefully he's looking down on his daughter and his family, and everybody's good, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, we appreciate you being on, man. Thanks again. Hopefully we'll get you on again, man.
Now, anytime, man. Give me a shout, man. You know, you guys keep working, man.
I will do. Thanks, man. Stay blessed.
All right.
Yeah, that's Mike Sweeney again, former Georgetown baller.
GT3 system didn't work. Have we heard that before? Oh, man.
What?
There's another revelation from a man that's in the Georgetown family. Black Hornets, man. Listen to it, bro. You got to let it go at some point, man.
I'm saying, hey, man. Well, I always said that. You know me. I'm that dude, man. You know me, man.
It was you and countless other people for years. So, you know, that gives you a glimpse of what it was like internally.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have Zoe, you know, one of the Kimbe or somebody who, Joey Brown,
though?
One of the classic, you know, Hoyas that, you know, we know and love, to see what their input is, but, or their thoughts are. But to me, that's indicative of what everybody was doing for years.
I agree. Time for another break, man. We get back from break. We're going to talk about the NBA offseason, other moves. Like I said, James Harden got paid. Hayward's a Boston Celtic. It's a beautiful thing. Listen to the Urban Sports saying, for ages, you dig. Deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray.
Bam.
What's going on, man?
Bam.
I know, right?
Reminding people.
All right, the NBA offseason. There's a lot going on. We've been gone for a couple of weeks, so we hadn't had the opportunity to kind of go through some of the changes in the NBA. Chris Paul was traded to the Houston Rockets for Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, and Sam Decker, just to name a few. Your thoughts on some of this trade or some of the other acquisitions and trades that happened in during the offseason?
It's going to be interesting to see how Chris Paul and James Harden coexist in the backcourt together. You always heard that there was friction between Chris Paul and his other teammates wherever he went, whether he was in New Orleans, then he was in LA. So it'd be interesting to see how that dynamic works out between him and James Harden. Also, from the standpoint, I think this can only help James Harden, because to me it seemed as if towards the end of the season, James Harden was doing so much to create the offense for himself and others that he kind of ran out of gas towards the end of the playoffs. LA did the right thing by trying to get anything for Chris Paul, because if he stayed there, he was going to leave and he was going to Houston. You were better off just getting anything, even if you don't get the high first round draft pick.
Yeah, we all know what's going on, man. Doc Rivers' son, man. It's all about the son.
You believe those rumors?
I do. I kind of do believe it a little bit.
Because if I'm owner of a franchise, Doc Rivers' son, Austin Rivers, is gone. If it's like Chris Paul, Austin Rivers.
But it was more that Chris Paul was pissed off to the reports. Chris Paul was pissed off that Doc didn't trade his son to New York. Matter of fact, to New York.
See, the thing was, I think Doc and Chris's relationship, according to what I've heard, was repairable. It wasn't like it was beyond reconciled, because from what I understand, it was a divided locker room even before this drama even unfolded. You had Doc Rivers being a huge advocate for Chris Paul. Chris Paul essentially got the superstar treatment from what all the reports indicate.
It's Chris Paul.
Doc Rivers could have quickly reminded him, listen, this is the relationship we had before my son came into play. And I am making moves in the front office, so I have the power to move my son, and that's what is necessary to keep you.
You made a point. You said you made the point that it's Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's examine that point that it's Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul has never gone past the second round of the playoffs.
True.
Wherever Chris Paul has gone, there's been strife between him and his teammates.
And coaches.
So when people say it's Chris Paul, don't get me wrong. I think Chris Paul is one of the better point guards of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a generationally great point guard. But we have to start holding his feet to the fire when we examine his career, like people did to LeBron, like people are doing to Carmelo, like people are doing to James Harden.
I think it's fair. I just think you look at Chris Paul and what you played for, I guess they were the Hornets back then.
Yeah.
He worked for less. So I've never really criticized that tenure with the New Orleans back then. I wouldn't do that.
He gets a pass because, yes, a lot of times he plays his heart out and his teammates don't show up. That happened in L.A. as well, you know, in some of those series against Golden State. However, if we're going to classify him as a generational point guard, Allen Iverson went to an NBA Finals with less than what Chris Paul did.
I totally agree.
I'm going to compare it to smaller guards.
I agree.
So, Chris Paul, is he durable enough? That's the question that I have.
All right, Paul George going to OKC.
That's what great management does. They get it done. Sam Presti.
That's a 1-year rental.
I mean, I don't care.
But this is
the thing though. It's a 1-year rental, but you get out of a bad contract that you gave to Victor Oladipo.
That's true.
You were paying Victor Oladipo $20-25 million.
But you
thought that when he came to OKC, he would take his game to that level that we all thought he could. Not saying that he won't do it in Indiana, but he didn't show that in OKC playing alongside Russell Westbrook.
That's the best way to state it, playing alongside Westbrook. I don't look bad. Like, I don't, and I'm not even a big Oladipo fan, but I will say this. He's not as bad as he looked in OKC.
Oh, he looked bad in OKC, you think?
Yeah, compared to when Orlando.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
This is recorded, right?
Yeah, yes. Recorded.
Because back when we were having the Russell Westbrook, his team is not that bad.
No, it's not bad. You heard what I said earlier to Will. I said playing with who?
Russell Westbrook.
That's why he looks bad.
Good point.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think he's a bad player. I think in Orlando, that's not Russell Westbrook's fault. I think I put that more on Billy Donovan, because he put so much on Westbrook in terms of the offense was all Westbrook. So when Westbrook came, like Oladipo, we've seen him in Orlando. He can do certain things, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a bad. You got McDermott in the trade, who played okay in Chicago. Gibson was a good player in Chicago. He had players to kind of work around it. No, he did. He had players to work. You could do certain. Enes Kanter is a raised boy. He's a good post player.
Raised boy.
Yeah.
Raised boy.
That's my boy.
He is.
Absolutely.
Who's a good post player. No, you're right. Who's a good post player. But you never really showcased him with this OKC team.
Well, let me finish my point.
I can't argue with the Dunham.
So you have Paul George for a one-year rental.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook. If he decides that he doesn't, he can go. And then if you're OKC,
you got Lonzo Ball already there, though.
If you're OKC, you can start your rebuilding process.
That's true. It's
plain and simple. So I mean, you know, it's not an ideal. You want to be able to retain Paul George long term. You want to be able to retain Russell Westbrook. But if it doesn't, then it helps you start to. You get a lot of cap space back, and you restart your building process.
Great business decision. Bottom line. From a business standpoint, great decision.
No, it is. Yeah. It is.
That's what's smart. Think about it. What did you really give up? You gave up Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. You didn't give up a first round pick. You didn't give up any future first round picks.
No, you're fine. Like you got over. It is what it is. But I think Paul George is a great talent. You got over.
Darren Williams going to the Nets, where you basically gave up everything. It's not.
No, you're right.
It's actually a great business move. I don't like it from the standpoint that Paul George is pretty much going to be a Laker.
He's going to be a Laker. He's going to be a Laker.
Yeah.
With Magic Johnson running the show, you got Lonzo Ball, and hopefully it looks as though Ingram is getting better.
He is getting better.
And he got bigger. Because when we saw him in the locker room, he was scary thin.
To
where I feel like if I hit him, I feel like I could break his ribs if I'd have punched him. So the fact of the matter is.
Break a rib, he breathes wrong.
He was that skinny, bro.
He was that skinny, man. He really was. All right, so Gordon Hayward signing with the Boston Celtics.
Another great move by Danny Ainge.
Reunited with his old coach.
I think it's a great story.
I think it's a great story.
Jason Tatum, too?
Yeah.
We'll talk about something, but he's a monster, though.
Yeah. Jason Tatum, I told you when we discussed the draft, he's the type of player that Boston needs. An ISO player that can create baskets for himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boston's going to hurt a little bit by letting Bradley go. I think Bradley's a lockdown defender.
But this is the thing. You let Avery Bradley go, but you still got back Marcus Morris.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
You still got back. Think about it. You gave up Avery Bradley, but you still got back Marcus Morris.
And that makes the Wizards rivalry so much real.
Yeah.
Because, Keith versus Marcus.
Yeah. You think about it. You gave up Avery Bradley. But one of the things you needed was better interior defense. So you get that in Marcus Morris. Uh-huh. And you added a dynamic score and Gordon, a dynamic player, all-star in Gordon Hayward.
And then you can play Brown.
Winning.
Now you can play Brown more.
Yeah.
And Brown is good in some league,
too. Can you beat Cleveland is the question.
I think this improves your chances.
Yeah, it does. I think it definitely improves your chances.
4-1 series.
No, it definitely won't be a 4-1 series. I think it'll go a 7-game series.
All right, record it.
Recorded.
You said it.
I said 4-2. I think 4-2.
The Clippers ain't winning the finals this year, folks. Willie T is changing his predictions up. Finally.
Absolutely.
All right, so who had the most impressive offseason to you? Which team?
Boston.
Sacramento, baby.
Well, yeah, I love what Sacramento did. Absolutely. Yeah.
I know what I hate that
Come
they
on
got.
Now, Harry Giles, De'Aaron Fox, Jackson.
No, no, I loved it. I love their draft picks. I hate that they
and
got.
And you had Frank Mason third.
I hate that they got Hill. They got George Hill.
And they got Frank
For
Mason
what?
A third.
Fox should be starting. There's no way. Just
a veteran presence.
I don't need no vet. I got Fox is the beast.
And you have Zach Randolph and you have Vince Carter. So you have three vets that can teach those young players how to win.
Great offseason.
So a lot of people
are planning for future.
On Facebook, a lot of people have Minnesota.
Just because Jimmy Butler, that's it.
So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about Minnesota. Where's your outside shooting coming from?
This is my thing about – see, to me, Minnesota had a good
Tyus Jones, maybe?
No, Jones. <don't. laughs> I hate – see, my thing about Minnesota, this is my thing. Like, to me, to be real with you, Minnesota was ultra-talented last season.
Right. The wrong coach was picked.
Exactly.
D'Antoni should have been that coach.
So the issue, like, everybody's like, Minnesota's 10 times better. Like you said, it's no shooting. You're in a Western Conference. I want to see if that works in the Western Conference rather than the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean?
Like that grind.
Stuff. Yeah, I want to see if it works. I want to see, because you got everybody back. You got Taj Gibson back. You got Jimmy Butler back. So obviously you had a plan. Like, you're bringing Chicago to Minnesota.
Yeah, you have Jeff Teague to go with Andrew Wiggins and Cat. Maybe they signed back Shabazz Muhammad. Yeah. Then you have Dang.
Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah, so. I mean it's going to be interesting, but I think Minnesota's definitely going to be a team that's going to compete for one of the top five.
Y'all like Rudy Gay in San Antonio?
I love that. I like that pick.
You ain't like Rudy?
I have questions.
He says it all. I don't care who you put. You can put.
So no, my only thing is I have questions of, he's such an isolation player. How does he work in that offense? Can he change his game to fit?
Pop, I think Pop can change it.
Well, LaMarcus Aldridge. We see how that.
He's a big. You're right. He's a big. That's his game. You're a big. There's so much you can do, right?
But we'll see. You know, we guys who have historically been isolation players. You know, and we only have one occurrence. That's LaMarcus Aldridge. Now we'll see how it works out with Rudy Gay.
Well, he worked out well the first season. It's just his personal preference.
Yeah,
that's what it is, because he could easily continue to sacrifice and win. He wasn't winning like that in Portland.
He's in the hunt
every year, yes, for the top spot and for potential home court advantage. Come on now, you can't argue with that. And again, what did you all say, and what has most of sports fans said? If Kawhi doesn't go down, that might be a different
season. Yeah, I think it may be a little different. I actually like Chicago too. I like Chicago's off season. I like you get Chris Dunn and LaVine. I think you got good quality talented players. Like
Chris Dunn showed you absolutely nothing.
Chris Dunn, but that's because of the dumb coach he played for. He wouldn't let him shine. He was supposed to replace
So you think that
you'll see
Minnesota.
I'm not saying Minnesota
should hire Scott Brooks or D'Antoni.
Real talk.
Scott Brooks, for real. You got a young squad that he can develop, and they offensively talented.
He ain't played Jeremy Lamb. I don't feel Scott Brooks that like that. He ain't played Jeremy Lamb like that.
If Scott Brooks can work with him, then maybe it was something he saw. Maybe it was just a fit in OKC, because Reggie Jackson obviously is a talented backup point guard and actually a solid starting point guard, but he had Russell Westbrook.
So you think Fred Hoiberg is going to be able to get more out of Chris Dunn than Tibbs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's young and young talent. I don't think Tibbs cares about youth.
Okay. Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Simons.
Andrew Wiggins was before Tibbs. And Towns was before Tibbs. Tibbs should have won with those guys. To be real with you, he should have won with those guys.
He should have won more games.
He won more games. They should have competed. They didn't compete.
Yeah,
Look at Utah.
Look at what Utah achieved. Look at what Portland achieves every season.
You know what? That's a good one. Portland, you can honestly say that Minnesota's more talented than Portland.
They are.
Last year, right?
They are.
Portland was the AC.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's debatable, but it's not. You know, you could try to match up each position, but yeah, Tom Thibodeau is an old school coach, and to me, you know, he's given one more year in my book.
Yeah, all right, well, time for break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the NBA Summer League. You listen to the Urban Sports Show.
For ages. Deuces.
Your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
You listen to Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. Real things, real people say real things during break. That's what happens. Anyway.
Yeah, bring it back to it. Black people, we break. That wasn't a break.
That wasn't a real break, though. All right. Right now, there has been a lot of impressive play in the Summer League. You got Markelle Fultz in Philadelphia, Tatum in Boston, Dennis Smith Jr. That boy bad.
And I know Fultz is my neighbor, but how does he fit into this equation?
What you talking about? He balled.
Impressive.
He averaged 20 in Utah Summer League. In Utah Summer League, he averaged 20.
I thought you were talking about the Vegas Summer League, though.
I'm talking about Utah. He played well in Utah Summer League.
Yeah, he did play. He did. I mean,
Deion Fox too, your man. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Dennis Smith Jr. is a star.
I said that. I knew
a
that.
Star.
Al said that actually.
I knew that.
When well, yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Ray, you did call that about when he was in high school. Yeah, like, why the Knicks? Yeah, why the Knicks didn't? Why the Knicks passed on him?
I don't get it.
That's what's fueling him too. Highest vertical ever.
But
at the rookie combine, ever. I'm talking about Michael Jordan. You name it, ever. He had it. He's like Westbrook.
He is.
Except he got a better jump shot coming into the league.
He's right.
And his confidence and his anger about where he was picked is fueling him.
And it's not just New York. It's like a rack of teams, man. It's not just the Knicks. It's everybody other than, like, to me, he should have been other than maybe Ari Fultz, Fox. Jackson, to be honest with you, I would argue that too.
De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, I would argue that. I think Dennis Smith, when you look at what Dennis Smith has to bring to the table, and the issue was that he played for North Carolina State and they didn't go to the tournament. But if you watched him, the dude was getting triple doubles. The dude is.
Was that an issue? That he played. That was the biggest issue that he played.
That's the only.
And they won 9 games.
No, that's the only thing I can say, because if you watched him play, he's gifted. Like, you see it.
It's a fit thing. Here's the thing: is he all around play? That was the question. Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, De'Aaron Fox consider all around point guards. Dennis Smith wasn't. He's a pure scorer. That's it. And athletic.
But when we talk about point guard, when we talk about the NBA in general, and we talk about athletes, I mean, we talk about ball players, the athletic ability.
That's the combination of it. I guess that's why I was amazed that he would go that far back to Dallas. I'm like, the combination of skill and athleticism.
Did they?
They now shortchange that is amazing to me.
Now they have the guy that they can pass the torch to from Dirk.
Easily. He's gifted.
See, he came in. I said this off the air, that him and Jason Tatum were the most NBA ready guys coming into the draft. Jason Tatum, he's making Dirk-esque shots in summer league, which is crazy.
He is.
The Utah summer league, yes, I hear you all. But I feel like Vegas is where everybody came in.
Vegas is where everybody at.
Right.
No, Vegas is the hot spot. I ain't gonna lie to you.
And see, if you watch these games, the great thing is that the top picks are all going head to head. That's what I like.
I know.
And it's perfect.
Josh Jackson is good too.
Josh Jackson, again, he's somebody who looked NBA ready.
He does.
You know, and the whole thing about their shooting was in question. And when I say there, I'm talking about De'Aaron Fox, Josh Jackson. I didn't necessarily have a problem with their shots coming into the league. I really didn't. Lonzo Ball, his mechanics was a question, but all around, obviously, he's a talented guy. Lonzo Ball's got to get tougher, and he's got to get his dad to shut up. I think that's the biggest problem.
I like his dad too.
I like his dad talk.
I know what I think. I understand.
De'Aaron Fox has cooked him twice, and then he bowed out of this last matchup for a quote unquote groin issue. I'm telling you. And I think De'Aaron Fox, that makes him hungry. Look at what Ben Simmons and others have tweeted about.
Well, they need to know that the Sixers need to shut up. Like, they need to shut up. Get on the court and play
yeah, playing
some real
play,
games.
Play 50 games and then talk
to
me.
I think they're getting real. To me, I mean, I grew up, like, respect your elders. I know their father is ridiculous. But still, you don't say F to a grown man when you, like, an age one. Yeah.
Oh, Ben Simmons was crazy.
Embiid
said dunk on him so hard his daddy
came. No, he said something else. He said F somebody. F. LeVar Ball.
For real?
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going too far. I don't care if it's an old man saying that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's going a bit too far. Now, obviously, LeVar Ball is a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, to me, that increases the microscope that's already on Lonzo
Ball. Well, I just think...
At the same time, look, people grow up not having someone, particularly a male, to champion them, to give them confidence, right?
Yes.
So when you have someone who believes so much in his child, that's going to put it out there in the world, in the atmosphere, and puts the added, I don't even call it pressure, right? That's not pressure. Just puts the added attention, the scrutiny on his son, and his son continues to play at a high level.
I'm not disputing that. I just think there has to be a cutoff point. I don't think he has any limits. You know, I think because Lonzo Ball had a solid outing, you know, when he had a triple double.
Yeah.
I think it was 11.
Right?
But still, it's to me, that dynamic is there to where it outshines
what he just did. Over it overshadows.
That is the out overshadows that.
Yeah, what he because it's always it talks about like he was on wrestling with his shirt off. It's like, come on, man.
Well, I mean,
you're selling a product. I get it. Yes, he's branded. I can't argue that. But where do you cut it off at?
Well, this is the thing. Until he says something that causes strife between Lonzo and his teammates and messes up the dynamic of that locker room, I think you can and then even then, you know, if you have a problem with what something his father says, go talk to his father. Don't talk to the son.
But his father said it already. He said it in during the summer league. He was like, you know, I'm letting my son go. I mean, I'm doing this outside, but I'm letting my son go. I'm not going to be in a Lakers situation. That's not me. My son, he's a grown man now. He's going to have to do what he has to do.
Here's the
thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. I cut you off. The cool thing is when Lonzo Ball rises above all this, that makes it look even better.
Yeah, and to me, he should be used to it. I'm sure his dad's been doing it forever.
Absolutely.
He's used to it. So the argument about, not you, but I'm saying when people come out and say, oh, how, you know, his son, I'm sure his son is sick of it, this, that, and the other. He's used to it. He's been groomed this way. He's been grown this way. So I don't see any issue with it. But, I mean, for him, though, in terms of his play in the summer league, I would like for him to be aggressive. That's it.
I mean, that's not his game to be offensively aggressive.
But his father's aggressive in his tone.
But you have to isolate the father from the son. Anyone who you got to separate it. You can. You if you've seen Lonzo Ball play, that you know at this point in his career, offensively, he's not aggressive, right? But I'm not saying as he continues, as his game evolves and he matures, I think he'll definitely he's going to be one of those guys that's going to get you 22-10.
If you watch consistently, him, when he was the aggressive man, he was awesome. Yeah. And the thing is,
I know he was awesome when he's aggressive.
He has Jason Kidd ability with, to me, more bounce and a better shot.
I don't think I'm more bounce than Jason Kidd though. Back, not young Jason Kidd.
Oh now. Yeah, he do.
You
yeah,
think
he
so?
Oh yes.
Look at his vertical, man. Jason Kidd was athletic and fast.
Yeah,
to me, Jason Kidd was faster.
Yeah, okay. But okay, maybe that's what it is. Maybe just
Jason
faster.
Kidd was faster.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Maybe
so he's fast off the jump. But based on our discussion, Dennis Smith Jr., he's the best. He's the most impressive so far.
So who's the –
Jason Tatum is a close.
Is this the best group of young talent you've seen in a while?
Sure.
I think collectively, absolutely.
De'Aaron Fox does look like John Wall.
He does. I ain't going to lie. He looked nasty in Vegas. I ain't gonna lie. He looked real nasty in Vegas.
I'm telling you, he's the truth. I really wish he could have went somewhere else.
It is what it is.
I think his talent will hopefully bring back the Bibby days.
I just hope Sacramento doesn't screw him up.
That's what I'm worried about.
I think, like you said, Ray, Sacramento's done. They've done some smart things in the offseason with bringing in George Hill, Vince Carter, and Zach Randolph.
Good combination of rookies and vets. What do you have to lose, man? They have a good season. Even if you come in ninth, that's a good season for them.
De'Aaron Fox. I just want him to start. I don't want George Hill to start. I want De'Aaron Fox to start.
Well, who says he's not?
From that contract? Yeah, he ain't starting. That contract was lofty enough.
Well, it's the market.
No. But you don't got to pay. You don't have to pay him. You already have De'Aaron. You don't have to pay him.
Well, George Hill only signed a one-year contract, right?
By the way, before we close the show,
how come Bam wasn't on this list? Bam Adebayo. He was impressive.
He's got, but he wasn't
on your list in the production.
No, I wasn't. No, actually,
because
I was just an option.
You didn't say he was going to be a first-round draft, and he was a lottery pick.
No, Bam.
Thank you.
Bam's having a great summer league. I'm going to say this, though, so I can clear the show off. Bam Bam screwed me up by having a good workout. If Bam Bam didn't have desire to be good, I would have been straight.
If I was 6'5", I would have been drafted. Dude, it's all like an ifs in this world.
I would have been drafted.
He was drafted because the man is the talent.
He would have been a late first, second
round. He was a lottery talent the whole time. I told you, he's baby Dwight Howard.
You didn't listen.
I know my truth.
You told me. I just came from Eden East.
I know my truth, man. Anyway, you guys want something to say?
Nah, man.
All right, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did?
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead it up, big homie.